We now begin the third part of our course, Mission Strategy. We have studied, so far, the book of Acts in its historical context, seeking to understand the events that are recorded in the life of the early church as it obeys Jesus' great commission, the last words before he went to heaven. We have also come back and looked at the book of Acts again in terms of theological analysis, seeking to pull out of it that normative theological content, especially with reference to missions issues, that Luke intends us to carry with us as a guide for our life today. Now it is our responsibility to take that normative theological content and mold it into a mission strategy so that we may implement the guidelines that are present to us in the book of Acts, or to put it another way, so that we may have the scriptures be in authoritative control over our strategizing, our tactics, and our carrying out of that strategy, our action in witness and edification of the church. As missiologists have studied this area of strategy, they have identified at least four ways in which it seems that missionaries today have operated. These four ways are given to us in a helpful book written by Ed Dayton and David Fraser a number of years ago, Planning Strategies for World Evangelism. They indicate that there seem to be four types of strategies which missionaries use today: the standard solution strategy, the being in the way strategy, a plan so far strategy, and the unique solution strategy. Let me describe these four to you briefly, and then, based on that understanding, we can move on to some basic steps for developing a biblically based mission methodology. First of all, then, the standard solution strategy. This is an approach which comes up with, as the name indicates, a standard way of doing things. It might be in terms of the way in which the gospel is presented, the four spiritual laws or the 5 points of evangelism explosion. It might be in terms of a strategy for a whole country, evangelism in depth that began in Latin America and extended as New Life for All to Africa. This kind of approach says, develop the standard strategy or solution, and then move into a given context and use it. Use it faithfully. As people have used standard solutions, they have encountered some difficulties, namely that the standard solution doesn't necessarily always work as well from context to context. So they have developed some other approaches. Approaches like the being in the way strategy. Being -in-the-way strategy. I guess isn't there a phrase, is it from Paul or from others, I being in the way the Lord led me? It's from that scripture verse. And what's that type of strategy says, we have a purpose, we're going to witness, we have no particular strategy, no particular plan of witness, we just know we should witness, so we'll go out and we'll start witnessing. And however God leads us, that's our strategy, a being in the way kind of strategy. And as they mentioned sort of tongue-in-cheek, sometimes with that kind of strategy, a number of people find themselves in the way of each other and are unable to fulfill their purposes. But being in the way strategy under God's leading. The third, and the first, of course, of the standard solution, they point to the problem of it may differ from culture to culture. I can think of an experience I had with a man who was heading Youth for Christ in Portugal, and I asked him about what methods he was using, and he said, we tried to use the four spiritual laws, but the first law didn't make any sense to the Portuguese. The first law is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, the Portuguese in a post-Christian traditional Roman Catholic setting don't really believe in that there is a personal God in the sense of one who interacts and would indeed be interested in having a plan for your life. So he changed the first of the four spiritual laws to, do you think it's possible to have a personal relationship with God? That became his entry point. Because on the one hand, he wanted to open the issue for discussion and dialogue with the individual, so he turned it into a question, and he went to the prior issue. Because if you don't believe that it's possible to have a personal relationship with Christ, it's not going to be good news. It'll be meaningless to you if you hear the statement, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So standard solution came up against some problems when it faced the given worldview of that particular culture. Third area, or way in which strategy was done, is the plan so far strategy. That's PLAN-SO-FAR strategy. And that strategy is one in which, I guess you would say, there is a plan to begin the work, there is an aim, but there's no further plan after the work is implemented. The example that they give was of, say, a given mission board said would have plans to develop a certain tent-making ministry or training in, well, it was actually training in craft industry in a given country. They go in, get all the permissions from the government to set up this type of industry, but then they have no further plans for getting the materials over there or developing the infrastructure. They just had a plan at the start, but they didn't have a plan all the way through. And then the final, which, as you can imagine, often happens, the one they prefer is given to you last. The final strategy is what they call the unique solution strategy. Unique solution strategy. And this one, yes, involves a commitment to certain goals, but it assumes that standard solutions probably will not work, and it is one that says we must tailor the strategy to the given cultural context. And make statements like, we believe that there are some approaches that can be used to discover God's strategy for each unique situation. As Christians, we have a tremendous advantage in considering strategy because we have the Word of God, a source of ultimate values and absolutes. We can most appropriately develop grand strategies. God has ordained the means as well as those who will be saved. We can rest in the confidence that God's will be done. Our role is to cooperate with Him in bringing His kingdom to fruition. There is value in each of these approaches at given points, but I would like us to see, just as a little bit of an exercise, think about the way in which Luke is presenting Paul's own work in the book of Acts in a number of his missionary journeys, and ask ourselves, which strategy seems to be modeled here? Standard solution strategy, a being in the way strategy, a plan so far strategy, or a unique solution strategy? For instance, if we go to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, we meet the beginning of the first missionary journey, and I'll just take two case studies here, the first missionary journey and the second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, of course, we have the direction of the Holy Spirit, separate for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I have called them. And then they are sent out and begin their witness. And notice how it ends in chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. They set sail to Antioch, and from whence they had been handed over to the grace of God to a work which they fulfilled. And then coming and gathering the church, they announced to them so many things as God had done with them, and that a door of faith had been opened to the Gentiles. Which kind of strategy is that? Well, I guess it might be, I don't know, I have a hard time analyzing these. Maybe I don't understand the categories as well as I need to. But there's a work, there's a goal, work to which committed. So I guess you could call it, in a sense, a being in the way strategy. There was, as we look through the whole of the passage, He did seem to have a standard solution in the sense of going to the Jews first. If there were Jews in a given place, he goes to that synagogue first. So I think it's a combination of being in the way and the standard solution. If you take a look at Acts chapter 16, there, I guess backing up to chapter 15, verse 36, after some days, Paul came to Barnabas and said, "Returning, let us visit the brothers in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord to see how they are doing." There we meet, in a sense, a plan so far strategy, the initial we want to see how they're doing. And as we meet it sort of links up with the being in the way in terms of leading, because you remember how they'd finished that part, and then they head beyond Phrygia, it's the Phrygia section of Galatia. And they're trying to go into Asia, and in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 following, they're unable to go into Asia. They're prevented by the Spirit, try to go into Bithynia, prevented, out to the sea coast, or Aegean sea coast, and have to go on to Macedonia via the vision. There, I guess you could call it, it's sort of planned so far and being led. There is a leading that takes place. But we really don't learn much about the intention and the strategizing of the given missionaries in detail. I guess it would be nice if we did, but overall, as many of you have met when you worked on these theology section of Luke, you had to end up saying the Holy Spirit was there doing the work of guidance, and the human planning and thinking was really in the background, was not up front in its declaration. So I guess in our own study from now on out, and we'll pray in a moment, we should keep these four strategies in mind just as a paradigm for how people operate. I found it helpful in thinking and looking at the kinds of plans that are made. Because quite frankly, what often happens in mission strategizing is individuals say, "God, this is God's plan." You know what I mean? In fewer long words, "This is the will of God," this type of strategy. And I think it is our responsibility, not doubting their sincerity in such declaration, but our responsibility as we hear such declarations to think through, well, now, where did that strategy come from? What is its nature? How does it link in with the Word of God? How does it link in with the dynamic of obedience to God under His Word by His Spirit? And in that way, our self-conscious, I'm not trying to make you cynical at all, but I am trying to make you self-critical, if I can say that in a neutral sense of the word, we can then participate in the advancement of Christ's kingdom in a way that would maximize to the full our thinking as well as our heart. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given us the heart by your Spirit to desire that your word go out to the ends of the earth. And we thank you for many who are dreamers and thinkers and planners. We thank you as we think about strategy. What it reminds me of is all those plans for AD 2000 of how to evangelize the world. And I pray that today you would strengthen by your Spirit those who are making the plans, and especially those who are implementing them, that many more may be around the throne by AD 2000 if you do not return first, because of these plans and this witness. And help us in our thinking that we may be creative and faithful. In Christ's name, amen. I propose that there are basically four steps that you would go through in developing a biblically based mission strategy and methodology. The first step would be the step, understand the historical cultural elements in the biblical text as they relate to your subject area. Understand the historical-cultural elements in the biblical text as they relate to your topic. We have done this already in the first third of our course. We have looked at the historical context, the historical content of the book of Acts. And for a narrative, this is especially important. This, of course, is important because it helps you not only understand the content of the text, but will provide a framework in which to make the discrimination between what is culturally conditioned or limited, historically limited, and what is universal that can serve as a guidance in any given historical cultural context. So, for instance, if we're going to deal with household evangelism, as we do as a topic, the first thing to understand is, what is a household? What was a household in ancient times? So we had a paper done in that area. And interestingly enough, yesterday I received, hand-carried, a paper from a fellow who sat in this class who is now doing PhD work at Marquette, in New Testament, Chris Vogel, who went on beyond the paper dealing with a household here, and he is now, with the use of a computer, and we have the same computer here on campus, thankfully, the Ibicus, has studied the term household in all the ancient literature in the centuries around the first century to get a hold of what was involved in the household. So study historically is an important thing to do. Then second step, or basic step, in biblically based mission strategy and methodology is to develop normative theological principles, or maybe I should just say theological principles from the text. This we have done in the second part of our course, theological principles from the text. Principles like God often works or promises that as the head of the household responds, so a whole household will respond and be saved. That I would propose as an example of a theological principle. God often works or promises that as the head of the household responds, so the whole household will respond and be saved. The third step is frame points of strategy. Strategic principles, having regard for the differences between the first and the 20th century. Frame points of strategy, or strategic principles. Having regard for the differences between the first and 20th century. Now, in this area, you might say, well, there doesn't seem to be too much difference between step B and step C, and I take your point on that. Sometimes you can so state your theology that it immediately is usable as a strategic principle. Other times it may be necessary to take that theology and rework it into even more general phraseology so that it can be used from cultural context to cultural context. For instance, in this area of household evangelism, in terms of a strategic principle, I would suggest one like this. The family or other religio-social units are to be approached with the gospel. In other words, a household in ancient times, yes, was the basic units of society, but it was also the basic religious unit of society, the household gods. The head of the household is basically the priest of that unit. So, within given culture, there may be other social groupings that are religious units or groupings, basic religious groupings, that would be appropriate to approach with the gospel, and not just the family household. Or to put it another way, if we talk about the household and are thinking of it as family, family may be differently configured from culture to culture. Therefore, the question comes, therefore, to frame the principle as basic religio-social unit makes it more general and allows you to apply it in a more flexible fashion. Strategy level. Next level is the tactics level, or the methods level. This is the fourth step. Understand the historical cultural elements in the biblical text, develop normative theological principles from the text, frame points of strategy, strategic principles. Finally, make practical, specific application of strategic principles to the current situation. Tactics. Make practical, specific application of strategic principles to a given cultural situation or to the current situation. For instance, when we're talking about tactics, again, going to the definition, it is those various instrumentalities, agencies, methods for carrying out the plan, the regular, orderly way of doing something, humanly devised tools or procedures with an associated pattern of action and organization aimed at achieving some result or change. Methods are simply rationalized, again, standardized ways of doing things. Shall I give you an example of the difference? You probably know this, but the difference between the strategy and the methods or tactics levels. Back in January, I was participating in an outreach where we had as our purpose to find out what the needs and the spiritual state of people within walking distance of the church that I am associated with had. Our strategy to find that out was to conduct a community survey, was to poll those individuals. Our methods were to take a pad of paper that had a series of questions on it printed up, questions that Dr. Ralph Naber had provided for us, and to go in teams of two into five areas every Sunday afternoon between 3 and 5, door to door, having used a reverse index directory to identify addresses, to ask people to answer the survey, and then move beyond that. So the strategy was to conduct a community survey. That was the overall plan or strategy. But the methods used were teams of two, aiming to have 5 contacts that would answer the questions. Do it within a 2-hour period, once a week, divided into 5 quadrants within walking distance of the church. Okay? Do you hear the difference in the levels that are being pointed to? Now, I realize that you probably, well, you have shown it in your in the way in which we've interacted on this course. From day one, you have, many of you have been thinking in terms of this whole process. In other words, when we were dealing with the history in the book of Acts, we had a number of application questions come up, didn't we? We had people saying, okay, we had a number of theology questions. Is this normative? How do you put this to work? You know, from day one, I was getting questions like that. And that's okay, because that is the way you have come to think, and you are thinking in an integrated fashion. All I have done here is separate the thing out into steps. It may seem unnatural in a way to you, but I only do that for the sake of education and for the sake of self-reflection. Obviously, whenever we do any type of seeking to be obedient to the Word of God, we not only do it from proper understanding of the Word as it was given within its context, not only do we do it from the standpoint of understanding the truth that has been given in that Word that is normative, and from the angle of generally how are we going to apply it, we do move on to implementation. How do I now apply it? So my separating that out into steps is not to not at all cut off your intuitive, integrative kind of thinking. But what I am aiming at in the last third of this course is the following. Having built on these previous foundations of history and theology, now let's put the text to work. Let's put it to work in terms of mission strategy, and let's put it to work in terms of methods. And I guess I basically have two purposes in mind, well, two or three purposes in mind here. Why am I doing this in a Bible course? I have a total of probably 9 weeks of cross-cultural experience in my life, to tell you the truth. 3 weeks in Zimbabwe in 1982, 3 weeks in Portugal in 1986. Oh, it's only 2 weeks. I should say 8 weeks. 2 weeks in West Germany in 1988. So I do not present myself ad hominem as a great expert of longevity of cross-cultural witness or work. And I realize that. And my area is the area of biblical studies. But I do believe that, and this is my first purpose, that it is possible to integrate, and we should be interdisciplinary in our thinking. So I will rush in where angels dare to tread. I will go into an area where I may not be may not have my strong background, but my intention is to give you a sense of integration, of interdisciplinary work. My second purpose is, in doing this with the Book of Acts, is a concern that I have for the matter of the authority of Scripture controlling one's mission work. We seem to have swung, as we've talked about before, but I'll just mention it again. There seems to be a swinging of the pendulum back and forth with reference to the way in which Scripture exercises authority over missions work. One end of the pendulum, when it's swinging back and forth, is the Roland Allen and Alex Rattery Hay end that says, do it exactly the way Paul did it. How long was he in these cities? He was only there X number of months, therefore you should only be at a given place X number of months, not taking into account, at least explicitly, the reasons why Paul got pushed out of places after X number of months, namely persecution, etc. A prior generation read those books as we read them and was very convinced by them, and they sought to implement them as standard solution in various cultural contexts, and they became frustrated. They said, it doesn't work to simply do it the way Paul did it. There are too many differences given the cultural context. So we then swung to the other end of the pendulum swung to the other end and said, all right, what's the Bible good for? The Bible is good for motivation. It gives us a mandate for missions. It's good for the message. The message never changes. That's where we find the message in the Bible. It's good for those sorts of things. Mandate and mission and message, the basic purpose that we have, the goal that we have in our witness. But when it comes to methods, as long as the method is not immoral, if it works, it's from the Spirit. So you just do it. You know what I mean? And I am afraid, quite frankly, that the pragmatism may have insinuated itself in such a way that at certain points, possibly some of Scripture may be being violated that's not being listened to. And we're going to have to test that out. So I'm trying to be somewhere in the middle on this, to tell you the truth. I am trying to say the Bible, yes, could possibly give you some direction in the area of strategy, and maybe even in the area of method. That deals with form over against meaning. There could be some commands. So I want to make the Bible not say too little, but I also don't want to make the Bible say too much. In other words, do it this way just because Paul did it this way. So the challenge of the last part of our course is to take our theological principles, frame them into strategy, and then identify tactics. In essence, we are off the end of the runway. We're no longer doing biblical studies. We're doing missiology. But it's missiology informed and controlled and guided, I would hope, by the Scriptures themselves. Obviously, there are other disciplines that inform us. Anthropology, the social sciences, certainly have a role to play in these matters, in providing paradigms and means of analysis, of understanding culture and context, as well as linguistics. So we are not leaving those disciplines out of account. All we're seeking to do is say, is there a place for the Bible? Yes, I believe there's a place for the Bible in the whole of the process. Okay, then finally, the final purpose that I have in having you work in this area is not only interdisciplinary, not only the matter of the Bible exercising authority, but also the area of introducing you to certain missiological themes that have been written about right today, and having you analyze how faithful are they to the Scripture, how creative are they in the mission strategizing. And then, of course, I'm having you do your own mission strategizing. Your assignment is not a matter of taking notes on the content of any of these readings. You are not responsible for the content. You will not be tested on them in that sense. What I am asking you to do is do a critical evaluation of your readings in three areas. Was the use of Scripture faithful to the New Testament writer's purpose and theology? Has the writer taken into account the differences between the first and 20th century historical and cultural contexts? in his framing of biblical principles for mission strategy? And finally, was the application of the principles both practically helpful and faithful to the authoritative content of Scripture? Now, obviously, you could do that assignment just by using one word, couldn't you? Yes or no. But as you well know, it probably entails a little bit more than that. You think so, all right? Well, I think it entails the following items, which I should have spelled out to you. What I would suggest that you do is just scan through the article, read through it. Don't take any notes unless it's just a lot of good stuff that you want to grab a hold of for yourself. Scan through it with a notepad by your side, and when you come to a particular use of Scripture, just note it down, and you'll come back to it. When you identify a particular articulation of a principle, strategic principle, note it down, you'll come back to it. When you find a particular description of a tactic, note it down, and you'll come back to it. And what you will do when you come back to it is the following. Basically, three things. First of all, you should give a summary of the content that is right there. Not of the whole article, but of just that one point. Enough of a summary that we can tell that you understand the content that you're evaluating. And when I say summary, I'm saying, 2 to 3 sentences. I'm thinking that this whole process should be able to go on to a page per assignment, no more than a page. Okay? So we're not talking extensive, we are talking focused here. All right? So you put down a summary of the content. The second thing you do is you give an evaluation. Yes or no? Was the use of Scripture faithful to the authoritative content? This is a thought exercise. Was the principle as it was articulated, does it take into account the differences between the early church time and when the Scriptures were given and the context into which it is being presented? And finally, the tactics. Were they helpful and were they faithful? You make an evaluation. And thirdly, as part of your evaluation, you need to give reasons why you have decided. Part of your evaluation, give reasons why you answer yes or why you answer no. Yes, to each point. Yes. And I'm asking you to find just three things in any given reading. One use of Scripture, one principle, and one method. Now, obviously, these individuals did not write these articles for the purpose of this class or for the purpose of this analysis. So you may not, probably in the area of method, sometimes you may not find the issue of method dealt with. I wish that it were always there, but it isn't necessarily always there. But you should give it a good try. You will find the use of Scripture, and more often than not, yes, you'll find the use of principles. Certainly for Wimber, you're going to find the whole schmear. You're going to find use of Scripture, you're going to find principles, you're going to find lots of anecdotes that really are pointing to methods that he would proposed to be used. So it's a fun exercise to work with him and think about it in that way. Okay, we will stop at this point and talk about John Wimber next time.